like to call the Appropriations Committee back to order. And, you know, I forgot to do a roll call that last time we came back in. Maybe we better do one now.
Congressman Bickhorst. Speaker Goodfox.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Here.
Second Speaker Shaw.
Present.
Chair Stabler.
Present. We do have a quorum. The discussion where we left off was on ONCA 2363. Second here, there we go. An act to amend 15 ONC 1A 108 to exempt non-tribal funds from a limitation and to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Hamilton asked to reach out to Mr. Kidder to come down and to talk with us about this bill. And I do want to apologize, Mr. Kidder, for this late notice, but since we were so late in the session, I didn't think we'd get to it, but we managed. So glad you're here. Glad you were able to come down.
I appreciate that, giving that time to come down.
So Congressman Hamilton, do you want to make any comments or address Mr. Kidder on what you're wanting him to do?
I'll defer to Mr. Kidder.
Okay. Mr. Kidder, you want to discuss?
Yeah. So I gave you guys kind of a cover letter, a quick summary of what I was looking at. Just from my experience and being a new director of this year of child support office has been challenging enough, but to when we run into issues with my budgeting last year, you know, I came in as a director in June, which gave me went right into budgeting season. So during that year though, in that office, they were short on office personnel. So in July, I wanted to move that money out, but then I found out from my accounting office that it's in law that I cannot move those two monies out of it. And by the time July is there, then it's too late to do anything for me back then. So, and I know there's other ways to take care of this, but I would like to get that change for the federal side of it rather than come in and do a special session. That way I can run things in real time. Last year was kind of, you know, we gave back $125,000 to the federal government that I couldn't touch just due to this law. So if I had the flexibility to move it at that time, I could have moved it to something else, the money we could have used somewhere else in training or whatever we needed. Computers, there were issues when I came in the office, we needed computers, but everything else was tied up in the budget, but that money was left in there where I couldn't even touch it. So I would like to get that amended where I can have that flexibility to move that money if needed. This year I'm in a good position. It's not going to be much, but I think it would add to a lot of the federal programs, give us the flexibility to run our business in real time. I mean, just because, you know, probably over wording everything, but I want to make sure that we understand that with what I'm doing, I've got so much other responsibilities we're doing in child support. To call a special session would be almost a burden, but I would do it however we had to. But I would like to get that kind of amended for the federal programs. And I know other federal programs feel the same.
Do we have any questions or comments? I have a question. What is your timeline on the federal side for budget adjustments?
When I came to them in July, they were good with me moving money then. They're the ones that told me that this was an Osage Nation law, and they deferred back to our laws. So,
but isn't there a process
for you to adjust a federal
budget?
Right. Well, to submit a new budget, I've got to have it by the end of July 31st.
And have to have it to them by July 31st, or you have to have the letter back from them by July 31st?
Submit it to the federals, to the feds, and then they evaluate, and then we go through approval process. And if I'm short things, they get back with me. I need to add whatever to my list of the what's needed.
But you have time, any time within that 9 months prior to that, to make adjustments on the federal side?
Yes. this being my 4 year, I mean, I'm on top of the budget and everything right now. But if something did happen, so let's say I lost personnel, then that money that should have went to their salaries and their benefits, it's kind of locked into those wage lines, mm-hmm. those two lines, the budgets and the benefits mm-hmm. lines.
I understand, you know, your concern in coming in at the last minute during a budget deadline
right.
time and stuff. The how awful that had to feel to leave that behind. But in a full year where you have plenty of time, I would think that you've got plenty of time to forecast.
Sure.
And plenty of time to know whether you're going to have funding and needing that adjustment or not. And so I just wonder why we couldn't handle it with the current situation where we do have sessions and pick it up, because hopefully we won't be in
want to be in that situation, mm-hmm. but I mean, it gives me the real time that I can make those moves in real time instead of having to wait for a special session. Hope there's going to be a special session.
I guess my point is you're doing that with the feds, and it could be coordinated at the same time with us.
So. Yeah. Right, and that's what I want. I mean, I don't know, for this line item change, I mean, I should be able to do it with the feds, with their agreement, to me, just conduct my business in real time instead of having to set a special session or come down here and get their approval. Mm-hmm. But okay. That's my opinion.
Did I have some hands go up? I thought I saw three hands. Mr. McIntosh, go ahead.
Chair. I'm in support of this, basically, because all that communication does go back to the funder for approval in line with the restrictions or with the regulations with those federal grants. And speaking of real time versus special session, you can get that approval without asking the federal government for a special session. But for an operational side, on the federal grant side, I think I'm in support of this.
Anyone else? Congresswoman Rivard.
So, I apologize. So we're talking about a budget mod for your non-tribal and your tribal? Are you tribally funded?
No, I'm all 100%.
Okay, federal. So you're just asking for
the federal side.
Correct. On the federal side.
Correct.
So basically what I'm hearing is you guys, or what you're saying is that you don't believe that the non-tribal budget mods are necessary because of the special session.
Correct. And I would imagine most directors in my position would also prefer the real-time adjustments. I mean, we do a lot of budget mods. I mean, it's not like I'm removing money willy-nilly. I've got to get okay approvals from the grants office. I go through the feds and let them know. So there's a lot of more approval processes that I follow also.
So it's the, if I may
Treasurer's
continue.
Treasurer's office, I got to get their approval.
Chair, may I continue?
Yes, please.
So is this just in regards to the salary and wages?
Yes, that's it.
And nothing else in the bill right now? I kind of feel like I don't know if I'm ready to take action on it, but it's not something that I wouldn't mind looking into further. That's just how I feel. I understand I've had to manage and operate federal dollars as well. Now, one thing in the beginning, you know, I'm able to look at things through different eyes, and I didn't agree with the authorization coming to Congress for them to authorize federal spending. But now that I've served over on this side, it's still dollars at the end of the day. There's a dollar sign in front of everything. So I see it, but I feel like this particular Congress has been very open into coming into special session, because we can call ourselves, or of course, CAHICA has the authority. And Treasurer McIntosh had just mentioned earlier that they've received a lot of non-tribal, maybe new funding or modifications that need to happen. I'm, you know, being a Congress member is what you make of it, and I don't mind working hard. It's my full-time job. So coming in, you know, if it's monthly to get this done, I have no problem doing so. And it goes rather quickly if it's organized properly from the Treasury side. And so right now, I don't know. I'm not saying I don't agree or disagree. I just have to, I want to think it through a bit further. The main reason we, as mentioned yesterday, one of the main reasons that we agreed to authorize the federal spending is that because of the ARPA and CARES dollars came in at such a large amount. But as I sit here and say that, our federal dollars are also increasing annually. And I think they're sitting at about 50, 60 million, something like that right now. Don't quote me. Which is a large amount if you look at it through the big picture. And that's kind of what, now I have a better understanding what this branch is tasked to do. And it's not to control, but more to authorize that spending. And for me, it's to have better knowledge of what's going on in a big picture for the whole government. It just helps me look at things in that manner. So I don't know, Chair, if I'm ready to actually move this out. That's just me right now.
Okay, hang on just a minute. Mr. McIntosh, you had something you wanted to say?
Yes, and I think to kind of add some more numbers to the conversation, we just prepared our CFA in preparation for our fiscal year 2022 audit, A133 federal audit. In that, we have over 250 operating federal funds. That is a huge burden on the Grants Department, Treasury Department, to track this level amongst 250 funds. On the tribal side, I think we look at it and we break out programs, I think up to 80, I think is close to the number of budgets that we monitor and maintain. So that's more of saying operational efficiency is coming from that perspective. If you look at the number of budgets actually that are operating in the federal, you know, grant and contract section of our funds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just wanted to add a little bit to the comments y'all are making. I understand that. It's a huge job. Huge, huge job. But our job is to authorize spending. That's what we're supposed to do here. And for me, I know most of them say it was all over the ARPA dollars and stuff that went on during the COVID times. But for me, when we took, I was one of the big proponents to take it away the first time. Let's get rid of those budgets. We don't need to look at them. They're sending them out and getting them approved. Let's just let them go. It created a huge hole over here. And we realized that we had cut ourselves in half. We couldn't see the big picture. We couldn't understand where it was going. So it's not even a case of we're trying to manipulate those dollars. It's more of a case we just need to see the whole picture. And that includes on salaries and wages and those games that you can play with budgets and moving stuff around. And I'm not saying anybody's doing it to be malicious. I'm just saying those games that we can play by holding off on jobs, on positions and stuff like that. So for me, it was just more of a case of seeing the big picture. As Congresswoman Rebard said, we have to see the whole thing. And so I don't know that I'm on board yet. I'm trying to be. Congresswoman Rebard.
So Chair Stabler makes a good point, and I'll tell you why. You're in a different position that you're only federally funded, but when, like I can talk about financial assistance. I had, I think, don't quote me on this either, I think it was 11 different funding sources. Some were tribal, some were federal, but I was able to, with salaries, you know, do at different percentages. And then when I come to Congress to talk about my tribal budget, they couldn't see where the other percentages were, and it did cause, you know, I'd say, well, that's coming out of 477, and this one's coming out of this budget, and this one, I have no admin and blah, blah, blah. But they couldn't see the big picture. And so I understand what Congresswoman Stabler is saying. It is about us looking fully. And there are a lot of the programs, social services is another area where they spread their federal, their wages and benefits across several different budgets. And unless you're living in it like you are, for new Congress folks, if you come down and start talking to them about that or someone that's not familiar with what we do up on that side, it's hard to really explain unless they see the big picture. And it is allowable to spread those out across. But also when it came to the matching grant, I think you guys have some in-kind with the AG, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so if you're looking at this side of your federal dollars and then you come over here to the AG side in their tribal budget because they're not federally funded, you can't see that. If you weren't presenting your federal dollars, your federal budget, then they can't see it when the AG comes to present. You can't see the debit and the credit. So just a comment. And again, I'm not opposed to it, but I feel like we need further discussions.
Speaker Goodfox.
Well, I don't know how much more discussion I would actually need on it. I am opposed to it. And I don't know if I'm going to be on appropriations in the next year or not. If this stays in committee, we'll have new members on this committee. But I will speak to what Congresswoman Stabler mentioned earlier. And I think that when we changed the law, what we saw was Congress members having a lack of information, honestly, with what our federal programs were doing. And we were really uninformed about what was going on because we didn't see some things and we didn't know, we just didn't know. And there are so many people that reach out to us with questions. They ask us about services or they text or they call or they email about things. And it's simply because we are involved with the budgets that we're able to point them in the right direction. And I feel like being able to come into special session and provide and connect with you guys even for these things gives us a better picture, honestly. That's my opinion on it. So it helps us to stay better informed. And I think that Congresswoman Stabler, maybe a year into when we started not looking at federal, and I think she mentioned that, or she was one of the first ones who said, I think we made a mistake and we shouldn't have done this. And it seemed, I mean, I think that when we first voted that way, everyone was like, oh yeah, it'd be great. But she was one of the first ones who said, I think we've made a big mistake doing this. I feel like we don't have, we're not very well informed on our federal dollars. And a few of us agreed, but we kind of stayed down that road until the CARES and ARPA money came into play. And then you were talking about big dollars. And that was when we went back. So anyways, that's just my two cents. Thank you.
Assistant Chief Walker.
So yeah, I have a little different perspective on this, having been a director over a federal program for 10 years. The difference with that federal program is those dollars roll over. And I've been part of the Congress that's gone back and forth, and now here we are. A little perspective, historical perspective, is this really was put in because of instances where money was shifted out of salaries, benefits, salaries and wages and employee benefits and used for so-called below the line expenses. And not to go into detail on that, but the difference between tribal and non-tribal funds is significant. Non-tribal funds already have restrictions that are governed by the federal government, and we accept those dollars and accept those restrictions. I think there's an easy, reasonable compromise here that could be done by amendment and strike on page 1, line 32, strike into. That way, money can't be shifted into salaries and wages and give people raises, which is always worrisome, but it allows for somebody like Michael or another director to shift money out of and not lose it at year's end. I would like for somebody to provide an example of what could, something harmful that could be done, and something that we went away from a long time ago that I didn't agree with, and I thought it was effective. Whenever I was a director, anytime we did any budget amendment or modification, a memo that was drafted by the director was sent to Congress. So there's the informing part, but I would propose, if I were on Congress, to strike into and consider an amendment.
Chair.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. Well, that, listen, and I don't want to tell you no, because I feel your heartburn with the situation that you have to deal with. It would make your job easier, Tyler's job easier, and even our job easier if we were to change this. But as a first-term member of Congress, I have to listen to those that have been here for a longer amount of time and kind of follow what we have done and undone and done and undone. So, Assistant Chief, you've given me something new to think about, so I will do that. But I understand why you're asking. I'm just not sure that at this point I can get behind it. But I'm willing to listen and consider it.
Mr. McIntosh.
Yes, I agree with the responsibility of this committee seeing the whole picture. And to me, I don't know that this bill is asking to take away from your ability to see the whole picture, because we are still bringing the initial bill or the initial award down to be appropriated. This is simply allowing more flexibility after appropriated, as long as it's all in accordance with the federal CAFR, federal regulations by each agency. There's parameters in every grant that's different, but typically raises, it says in the CAFR, you know, reasonable, prudent, typically not more than 3%. Just like last year, we wrote to federal agencies asking for approval for the 10% inflation that the body approved last year at this time. So there is a lot of coordination that goes on there, but I think the whole picture is still going to be seen, because we're not asking not to bring down the initial awards to be appropriated. That will still continue. It's just on the back end of having that flexibility to work within the parameters of those grants of what's allowed.
I understand. Congresswoman Rebard.
Okay, I'll be quick. So I get that piece, you know, I was thinking, okay, wait a minute, they're not asking that the money not be authorized, but it's more about being able to access the leftover funds and salary and wages to be able to move them down into other items, to non-admin or admin. That's what I understand. So that I can see and maybe get behind, but not yet. I'd like, because it could affect other areas. And I did, you did too. I know you did. As the director of the clinic, it's like, you know, you don't have this position isn't filled and you can't access those funds to do something else that you need to do, which could be hire a consultant to do a specific task, but you're not able to do that
without a budget mod.
Without a budget mod. So I really want to think about it, because the goal is not to handcuff. We want, you know, the directors get paid money to manage their budgets. And so I respect that too. But if you'll just give me most certainly a little bit more time to look at, I think this is amending the Budget Process Act. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to look at it and to see if it affects any other language in that bill or in that section of the code. Do your child support dollars not carry over?
We're on a 1 year.
1 year.
That's what makes it hard.
So it is different for you, because most federal dollars are federal grants, 3 years, and they're or.
Yeah, we're kind of unique in that way.
Okay.
We are beyond time at this moment. Yeah. 1:45. And so I'm not saying we can't have a couple more minutes, but I think if I get the feeling from everybody, like to postpone this until it would be a new committee. It'll come to a new committee after next week.
Chair, I'll make a motion to postpone ONCA 23-63 to the call of the chair.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion there? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay. ONCA 2363 is postponed to the call of the chair.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Motion. Do a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, we are adjourned.
Sorry, Michael. I tried.
I tried. I was just a little hard.